This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Good afternoon, family and friends, and thank you for being with us again this afternoon. Same time, same place, but you are so welcome joining us here on Radio K Pulpit. I would like to encourage you to really download our app and really advise those that are wanting to listen to us. This is the best way to listen, because it doesn't matter if you're in the mountains or on the other side of the mountains or wherever you are, you will be able to hear us. So I just want to encourage you to really download the 7 to 9 a.m. app. But we've got a very, very super special guest in the studio this afternoon. You probably hear him a lot on the radio. I've been wanting to have him for ages on my program. And praise the Lord that we were dealing with youth this month. And I just felt that he would possibly really be giving us so much wisdom and so much knowledge about the youth of today. And we've had a lovely conversation about it. And Stan Turketi, and you often hear him on the programs. Everybody wants him on the programs. So thank you for being with me this afternoon for a change, Stan. It's such a blessing, and really looking forward to our interview.
Yes, that's great. Thank you, Renette, and thank you for the privilege of being on air with you. And also to our listeners.
Yes, yes. And you know the voice now. We're going to take a music break. And then straight after this, we're going to just jump into the topic. We're going to talk about youth and the challenges that they are experiencing now. And how do we navigate teenagers in this time? Our youth is angry. They are confused in their identity. They don't know who they are. And they've got no hope. So we just trust in the Lord for this program to really bring hope to our youth, as parents even as well, and any of those that are in the educational, even in ministry, as how do we give our youth hope? So Stan is going to give us some advice straight after this. Good afternoon, family and friends, and thank you for staying tuned in on my program. This afternoon, we are so blessed to have Stan Turketi in the studio with us this afternoon, and we are really going to touch something very, very, very relevant. I think you know that our youth are struggling and they're not okay at the moment. They are really struggling with their identity. They're struggling with their anger. They're struggling with hope, and they really are feeling lost in society today, and they have so much peer pressure. So Stan is going to give us a little bit of a background, first of all, from where he's been and, you know, the experiences that he's had, and to where he is now, and why is he in ministry. He's got his own coffee shops and Viara Coffees. He's going to share a little bit why he's doing that as well, because him and his sons are really doing very well with the business. But at the same time, he's really ministering out there to families and men, and I really think he's going to be able to share a lot of wisdom and knowledge this afternoon. So thank you for being with us, Stan. So just share a little bit of where you've been, and you've got such an interesting testimony, and we're looking forward to hearing what you are doing now.
Once again, thanks, Renette. It's wonderful to be here and also to speak to the listeners. Where I can start is I was born in Johannesburg. I grew up in Johannesburg. And I went to church, and that's it. Went to church, but I heard about Jesus, but I never knew him. And that's how I went through life. Eventually, I finished school and went to the police. And while in the police, we were doing what we had to do. I was with a special unit at the later stage in Johannesburg. Mm-hmm. And didn't know the Lord at all. Not at all. So, you go big in yourself. They give you power, which you misuse sometimes, mm-hmm. which I did.
Yes.
And eventually, I went to KwaZulu-Natal. And luckily for that, God knew the best for me. In 1981, I actually gave my life to Christ.
Sure.
There was a turnaround, because it was, what I was doing, I think I was doing good. for the people of South Africa and for the government. You know, it's like when Paul was going out, he was actually thinking he was doing the best thing for the church, but eventually he was actually torturing people that actually spoke about Jesus and the coming of Jesus and when he will come, the Messiah. And I mean, he stood by while they were torturing the Christians.
Sure.
And then one day on the road, the light of Christ came onto him and he fell from the horse. Now, exactly the same happened to him.
Sure.
You know, God just opened my eyes. Once I've given my life to Christ, I knew that I was lost. I knew that what I was doing was just running up against a wall. There was no hope for what I was doing. I saw everything in a negative way. But that day when I gave my life to Christ, everything turned around.
Wow.
You know, I have three children, two sons and a girl, and they're all married today. My oldest son is 50. And the youngest one is 43, so yes, and I've got. Thank you very much.
A 50-year-old. Yeah,
and I'm the grandfather of four young children, and they all look like me, Renette, and listeners. You want to believe it or not?
I don't care
what you guys say, but they look after their grandfather, and I love them so much. Yes, and that's when God started working. I was at the space unit, and I didn't want to go back, listener.
Knowing what you have to do again.
Yes, going there, knowing the people, knowing how we work, knowing what we're doing. You know, once we have all these good results, We would have parties right through the night,
sure,
because it was a major breakthrough.
You know?
And actually, we were not honoring God. We were actually honoring ourselves because that's how good we are. But you know, on the other hand, we were judged by people. We were judged by the church because most of us never went to church after that. I mean, I never went to church.
Hardened hearts.
Yes. If somebody would come to me and says, listen, can I pray for you? I said, wait, don't pray for me. I've got my church. But I never went to church. So I actually wanted nothing to do with the church because of the hardened heart that I had. And all of these men and women that were working with me, they also had hardened hearts because of the
you
judgment.
You wouldn't have coped otherwise,
no,
I suppose, either.
By going to these people and once they talk to you and the next moment they judge you and so on. You know, I can say things that which they've spoken to me, which is actually terrible. You know, one guy actually said to me one day, I says, you're standing here on the parking of one other church and they're going to clamp your wheel. He says, so what? They've already sent me to hell. They can clamp my wheel. You know, and that actually went into my heart. But in any case, I said, God, I don't want to go back because I know what's happening. And God says, you're going back. You're the commander. You will not preach to these people. You will set the example.
When we have that
major breakthroughs, it was the same thing. Party, I went there. In these guys, I bribed the meat for them. And they were actually looking at me, what's going on with this guy now? You know, can we trust him? What's going on here? This is not how it works. And you know, usually late night they would come to me and says, what has happened? Why are you like this? And then they open the door so I can talk to
them. And can share with them.
Yeah. So I shared with them without forcing anything on them. And I had to set the example. And sometimes it was tough. It was very, very tough.
I'm sure you got resistance.
Yes, I did. Mm. But eventually, God spoke into those hearts. Mm. I can't do it. I plant the seed, but God let it grow.
Sure.
And that's what's so wonderful about it. You know, we were working with very sensitive stuff. Things that, you know, sometimes you just read or hear it in a movie and tell you this is like a James Bond story. But there is really stories like this. And one day I will share it with the listeners, all these things that has happened.
Yes.
But you know, eventually, with each and every project, we called it projects against a drug cartel or a drug syndicate, whatever it may be, I would call them together, and we've got all the information that we have, the profiles, we're needing to put it together. It says, let's pray. And I, could see, and I could see some of them looking at me, you know, and so I said, come on, guys, let's just ask God for wisdom, insight through this. I'm not praying for you guys. I'm asking God to bless us.
And protect listener, you. And protect you.
Yes, and protect us.
Because you were in such a dangerous...
Yes. And I will even go into that, how many times I, you know, even my life, there was a threat on my life and on my family's life.
Mm.
But every time God came through and he kept his hand on me. Sure. But eventually I said, Lord, there's a new way that I should work at this. And I sat at my office table one day and I was praying and God gave me 7 points. How I should work with these cartels. Guys in the drug game, in the firearms.
So he gave you a strategy.
He gave me a strategy.
Fantastic.
And I worked according to that strategy which he has given me. Shared it with my guys. We had the best results in South Africa.
Praise the Lord.
You know, they were asking me, how do you do it? And every time my boss in Pretoria says, how do you do it? I says, it's God helping us. And he would say, ach, yes, damn it. Talk to me about something else.
Mm.
Now, don't talk. And I says, I need to tell you, I can only give God honor for what he's doing.
Wow.
And I can tell you, the first asset forfeiture case ever in South Africa was my unit that had it. We concluded it in the Supreme Court. I know the FBI struggled for 10 years to get it through their courts. We did it in the first time we went to court.
Wow.
So I honor God for what he's doing. But that's my life.
Because he's the finisher of your faith.
Yes.
In the project.
Exactly.
Yes. He concludes it for you.
Exactly. And through the whole process, that's the
time and time placing, and time again he did
placing
it.
Of the agents, you know, the handlers, working on the project, you know, showing exactly where we should go and who we should talk to. That's the strategy God gave us. And, you know, it's like just doors went open for these people.
Wow.
But, you know, when my ministry started, Renette, and...
Well, I would think that is actually part of your ministry. Hey? It's actually the start. That's where you started executing it and exercising it.
Yes.
It's amazing.
So the day when I gave my life to Christ and I went back, that's when my ministry started.
Wow.
And, I mean, I was still a baby. Young student, if you can call it like that.
But hungry.
But, you know, the Holy Spirit that God actually gave us, that lives in us. He's the one that taught me.
Mm.
He's the one that actually spoke to me, and I had to know when he speaks to me that it's actually him speaking to me. I have to have a relationship with God. If you don't have a relationship with God, you will not hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. There's so many voices going on in the world. I mean, Renee, just look at our the media. What comes through on your WhatsApp? You know, so many
nonsense.
And people would say, "Did you see this?" I say, "But I don't see it because it's not the truth."
There we are.
That's not what it's about.
Mm.
So yes, that's when our ministry started. Up until today, there's many of my colleagues that worked with me which says, you know, Stan, I took a leaf out of your Bible. I gave my life to Christ. And that's what it's about to me. You know, God is in the business of people.
Yes.
And I'm in his business. So, yes, I'm in the business of people, and that's my heart. I've got a passion for people. I mean, the two coffee shops that we have here, what a great place to minister.
You know how good it is when we're on the other side.
You know, it's so good when you sit there with a cup of coffee and I can see there's something wrong. The first thing I ask you, tell me, is there something wrong with the coffee? And then the guy would say, or the woman would say, no, there's nothing wrong. I says, it's something's wrong. And usually they open.
Mm,
I can talk to them and even pray with them.
Mm.
You know, and that's God sends these people your way. And that's what I love about him.
Yes.
You know, there's a heart.
There's a connection.
Yes,
you
of
made
course.
A connection with
yeah.
people.
Mm. So, yes, that's when I started with my ministry and I'm still going on. I've never stopped. I've never looked back. I've never doubted.
Mm.
You know, I really time and time again to a thing like a storm and you must see whether the storm is from God or is you created the storm yourself.
Ooh.
You know.
Now you're talking.
You know, I spoke to somebody one day and he said, you know, how many storms God's still going to send my way? And while I was sitting, the Holy Spirit said, I need to ask, tell me, How many storms did you open the door to come
in? Oh, Lord.
So, yes, sometimes you create your own things.
Our own storms in the teacups.
So, yeah, dis vir my lekker om so die woord te verkondig en te praat. Nie om te preek, ek preek glad nie, ek praat met mense.
Yes,
ek weet. I just go there and I speak, and it's lovely to speak. I was in the Strand yesterday, I could speak to a lot of businessmen.
Yes.
I just shared my testimony and says, you know, it's not only the word, you need to apply it. We can pray and pray. I've got nothing against prayer. We need to pray, but you cannot just pray. You cannot just read the word of God. You need to react and you need to do what he says. I usually ask the question to many people, do you really think Jesus knew what he was speaking about? So think about it. Do you think he really knew what he was speaking about if we read in the New Testament? And people would say yes. And I says, but what are you doing about it? He's asking us to go out. You know, speak to people. Make disciples.
And have conversations.
And I think
there's a Holy Spirit to operate.
Exactly. And I think people's got a wrong perception of going out. You know, we need to preach. Take the Bible. Look at this verse. That's not...
And we banished Jesus on us and all that.
Yeah, and I've never seen Jesus take out the Bible and start preaching on the Bible. He was telling stories. And he was always referring to the Old Testament and the prophets and what would come. And then he would explain it to them. And look what has happened, the change in the hearts of people.
Yes.
You know, if I look at the church people of those days, I mean, you didn't get better theologians of that time. They were the best you could get. But those are the people that shouted, crucify him. Those are the people that actually brought him before court because of what he was saying about the word.
Yes.
And this die woord is baie maklik. Die woord is nie ingewikkeld nie. It's not complicated. En dis wat het vir my so lekker maak, dat het vir ander is. Kinders, jonger mense, ou mense, en dit, as ons kan terugkom by die kinders, the youth of today.
Yes.
You know, I've seen...
So I think we're going to have to take a music break now, and I don't want us to start this point, because I think we need to address the youth straight after this break, because that is now, for me, really something. I think this is where we can change our nations, we can change our mindsets, we can change the hearts of children of our country is by addressing these things in the youth. So we're going to join Stan straight after this music break. Enjoy it. And we're going to continue this conversation straight after this. Wow, we've just had such a powerful first session, and I hope you enjoyed the music. But we're going to jump into this topic right now. I've got Stan Tocchetti in the studio with me this afternoon, and he is just going, you know, he shared something about his journey of his life and when he became a young Christian and how he worked just navigating and speaking the word and just being himself and giving people opportunities and going out there and speaking to everybody that he could possibly speak to. And I think we are going to concentrate on the youth this afternoon, because he's really got a heart for the youth. And he really feels that this is where we can actually make a change. We can be game changers for our country. So Stan, you know, you've got a passion for the youth, and you know, we know our youth is struggling at the moment. So just tell us what, you know, how would you approach this?
Renette, you know, if I just look back on my life, if you confess Jesus and you don't live it, you're living a lie.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, people don't read their Bibles. Like Paul said, I'm an open letter. So you could read Paul, wherever he went and what he did and how he operates. And in these days, people don't read their Bibles. They actually read you. And I've heard many times people would say, if that's a Christian, I don't want to be a Christian. So imagine, what does your children say? You know, the success of your life is the success of your secret life, where you think nobody sees you. And that's where it starts. It's at home. It's first you, then it's first God, then it's your wife, and then it's your children. And I'm talking to the dads now. Because that's the dad, is not the boss in the house. The dad is the leader. He's the one that would say, come, we're a team. because it's a team game.
Of course.
I'm here in the team. Let's go. Today we're going to church. Tonight, every night, we'll be praying. We'll be praying for our neighbors. We will be praying for our family. And that's where the youngsters, that's where our children and the youth see things happen. Because, you know, when you pray, miracles happen. Mm-hmm. And that's what they see. It's not a fake thing. Mm-hmm. So once you fake Christianity, these youngsters pick it up immediately. Immediately they would pick it up and they would say, actually, I don't want to listen to him. They're wasting my time. Or they would sit and they would look at you and as if they are listening what you are saying, but it doesn't go at all.
They shut down.
Yeah, they shut down completely. So that's where it starts. It's really at home. It's with a dad and mom. How they, you know, working together, how they worship God, how they go out. It's not a church thing. Today, you know, verse so-and-so say, you need to do this. And verse so-and-so say, you know, it's all the whole time, it's a finger-pointing thing. And I need to state it because if I don't do that, God's going to punish me. So you can't say that at all because Jesus already paid the price.
Wow.
He sent his son for the world. And I want to take out the world there in John 3:16. He sent his son for Renette, for Stan.
Yes.
For whoever, voter, everybody, you can attach your name there because that's how he loves you.
Mm.
So what do we see, or what do our children and the youth see? How do we operate? You know, sometimes people take Christianity as, yes, it's like a diet. I compare it to a diet. You know, diet for 3 months. And after 3 months, what happens? I go back to the old way of eating. So it's also a way of life. Your eating habits. It's a way of life. You don't have to go on a diet.
It's a lifestyle.
It's a lifestyle exactly with your walk with Christ. It's a lifestyle.
And it's also a relationship.
A relationship.
And even with dieting, you have a relationship with food.
Exactly.
And what is it, healthy or unhealthy?
Exactly.
And that is a huge, huge thing that you're sharing now because we have a relationship, but do we have a relationship?
Exactly. And, you know, people would come and say, no, but this is
just
right.
Just binge eating and then...
Yeah, this is right and this is wrong. And usually I say with right and wrong, there's tick boxes.
Mm.
And we can argue around the tick boxes. But to me, it's straightforward. It's whether it's good for you or bad.
Right.
I just need to say yes or no.
That's right.
No. Do I need to go and have some... something that I shouldn't do with the youth, go out and have some drugs, is it good or bad? It's bad. Mm. It's so simple as that. I don't have to tick the box, but you don't understand my circumstances.
Yes.
You know, that's the one that usually comes up and they try to justify the wrong with it. Mm. But where do they see it?
Mm.
You know, it's monkey see, monkey do.
There we are.
Isn't that so? So I've seen it in my life. With the South African Narcotics, where I was the commander as well. Mm-hmm. I've seen how many children has gone the
wrong
way.
Share that with me because that really grabbed me, what you told about what parents do and what children do.
Because they don't get anything at home. And then they meet somebody else, which makes the life exciting to them.
Mm-hmm.
And slowly but surely, they are pulled into a network which they cannot get out.
Sure.
And they get addicted to one or other drug. And they and then usually when the parents know about it, they try to cover it up. And you cannot cover addiction at all.
Mm.
Because once you cover it up here, it jumps out on that side.
Oh, yes.
And it just gets worse and worse. Now, sometimes I think we as South Africans have a pride. We don't want to tell or somebody say, pray with me.
Mm.
Stand in the gap for me. This is what we have. Because it makes you look bad.
Yes, or a bad parent.
Exactly. And that's the first thing.
Dysfunctional.
Yeah. But, I mean, you just need to do introspection in your life just to go back to see what you see about your children. And that's why I'm very serious about this. Renette, one of the head martyrs actually invited me and he says, please, would you come and speak to our children with regards to drugs? And I said, no, not at all. He says, but yes, there's a problem. I said, I know there's a problem. So, you know, this is only the symptoms we see.
This is the end result.
Yeah. Who's the real problem? Actually, you know what you can do? I say, please invite the parents.
Mm.
Mm. No, this, the board won't. I said, well, then, I'm sorry, I won't be coming to speak. But if you get the parents, I will come.
Mm.
And he, in advance, he says, no, we're coming. Everybody's excited. They want to come and listen what the problem is. I said, that's it, what I want. You know, I actually send my guys to the nightclubs in that town. And I said, right, each and everyone, there's a firm squad. You just take the video clip from who is actually offloading the children at the nightclubs. And at the same time that night, it was about 12 o'clock, we would go in with, I would send in some of the SWAT guys. They were going, everybody has to lie down on the ground, and we would take the video images of everything happening inside that club. You could see the drugs all over. And you know what, Renette? They would tell their parents, the parents would say, but they don't drink there. There's water in the night.
And they drink the energies.
Yeah. But you know, with ecstasy, you can't use alcohol.
You can't.
So you have to drink water.
A lot of the drugs you can't.
To keep on going. Yeah. I mean,
so you need lots of, because it dehydrates.
Exactly.
The amphetamines has got the salt in.
Yeah. So that night when the parents asked, I'm so glad you guys are here and we're going to talk about the problem. And I know, you know, it's not you guys, but we can sort it out. And you know, I said, we just want to put up them some clips on what, you know, at the nightclubs, who's actually taking the children there.
Dropping them with
dropping
money.
Dropping them off. And so
giving
on.
Them money.
You know, and kissing them and hugging them goodbye. And then they started looking who's actually leaving at the club. And it went quiet.
That must and have been a shake-up.
And then we went into that, you know, when we that clamped down with the, and I showed them the clips of the children on the floor with the drugs all over.
Mm.
You know, when I finished spoken there, people actually came and says they know where the problem is. They are the problem. There's no discipline sure. there. Because the children would tell them, you know, we're going out with our friends, and this is who the friends are. And they're actually good people. They come out of good homes.
That's the problem.
So it sets me, I've got peace in my heart because I know, you know, Renette, you're a good person. So my child can go with your child, then no problem. But I never go and I really speak to Renette and see what the circumstances. And now, all of a sudden, they get together, these children, and that's what they do. And that's where the problem starts.
That's right.
We want the school and the teachers to give our children discipline. That's not their work.
It's not their job.
It's not.
And this is what we expect. We expect our churches, our youth leaders, our teachers, our people to do the job that we should be doing.
Yes.
We should be, they should just be doing their job.
Exactly.
And not our job.
Yeah.
And that's why the schools are in such a mess.
Yes.
They cannot cope with the behavior and the unruliness. And, you know, the kids are so protected. You know, they haven't learned how to navigate discernment and being able to say no to anything.
And you know what? I've spoken to some teachers in schools, even now, and you know, if the teachers pick up something and they would speak to the child will go back to the parent will come back and
fight the teacher.
Without saying, please help me, please. I don't know this.
Mm.
You know, society has gotten to a point where everybody has a right, but you know, nobody has a responsibility. They
there
don't
you
take that responsibility.
Yes, you said
but
it.
I have the right. I have the right to go to the headmaster and tell him he's not doing his job.
Yes.
But do I, as a parent, take my responsibility for my children?
Yes, Lord.
You know, one day we're going to stand before God. People, you must listen to what I have to say. I've seen it in life. You know, there's regrets. And I'm going to give some testimonies now, if I may.
Yes, we're going to have to take a break. But as soon as I'd love you to share that with us in the next session. I want us to hold on to that point, because this is now very vital for you listeners out there. This is where that responsibility is. How much are we playing into the downfall of our children? So we're going to just join a stand after this next music break. Enjoy and come back. This is a very serious, very, very, very relevant session, because I think this is where we're going to really have a turnaround in our own thinking as parents. So Stick around and we'll see you straight after this. Good afternoon, family and friends, and thank you for being with us this afternoon. I'm so excited about this program because I know this is going to really be meaningful for you, an opportunity for you to change your hearts and your minds and your thinking and your mindset. How much are you responsible for, as a parent, for the outcome of where your children are now? We often ask, I don't know why my child is, you know, on drugs now. And I think there is a responsibility that we have to take ownership of. So we've got Stan Tocchetti in the studio with us, an ex-policeman, a commander in the police, and he's walked an amazing journey of really coming into fullness with Christ, and he's using these opportunities to speak into parents and men, into ushering their families into proper leadership in their homes. So to Stan, you really started sharing something very important, some testimonies, and then also things, you know, how do we change the hearts of the youth?
Yes, thanks, Annette. You know, I say it's so wonderful to talk about it because it's, I'm just speaking out of my heart, and I've got a passion for young people.
Yes,
and I'll tell later why I've got a passion and what I've seen. But, you know, people usually complain, says, yeah, the stream is poisoned. Look at our children. They drink out of the stream. They blame the schools. They blame the churches. They blame this. They blame that. But you know who poisons the stream? Where it comes out of the fountain. The parents are poisoning it.
By their lifestyles and their behavior patterns.
If you stay silent in the war between good and evil, your life might be easier, parents. And I'm talking to you. But not your children's. They won't be easy. Because they're going through the problem which you actually, you know, just kept a blind eye to. You know, if I look at the works of the enemy, we know, all know who's Satan. And sometimes he just gets blamed for certain things that I allowed.
Yes, I allowed.
Yes, I allowed it.
Or part of it.
Exactly. So, you know, we've got a choice to say no. And we know what Christ has done on the cross for us, giving us the authority over him and over the works. So I don't like to speak to him, but I can tell you now, the word says he is the killer and the destroyer of our people. That's who he is. He kills people. He destroys people. He robs them. Mm. But do you know what? I allow him to do it.
You actually give him permission.
Exactly.
You open up the portals.
Yeah. If I don't give him permission, he cannot do it.
Exactly.
Because Christ is protecting me.
Mm.
And if I get to a place where I says, children, we should not teach our children how to think. We must make them think by themselves, to give them a chance to think about certain things in the day and age. And once we give them that, Renate and listener, they will come back and speak to you about this. And they would say, you know, I think about this. What do you think about it? But if I, the own time says, you have to listen, I'm telling you, it doesn't work. They close immediately. But you know what? I don't know whether you've seen a child die of an overdose of drugs. It's terrible.
Close.
I'm telling you now.
Close.
And usually I use the example of how does the Eskimos catch a wolf in you know, where they are in the North Pole. What they do, they take a blade and they put it in the ice. They plant it in the ice and then they take blood of another animal and they put it on the blade and, you know, away from the blade, and the wolf would smell it and he would, the blood, and he would come and he would lick on the ice. And the time when he gets to the blade, the tongue is already, you know, numb.
Numb.
And he would lick against that blade and he would drink his own blood and he would die on the spot there. So when I look at
a child that is
on drugs, that's actually what happens to him. We allow him to smell it, and we don't stop him before he gets to the blade. So parents, that's your responsibility. It's not the police's responsibility. It's not the government's responsibility. It's your responsibility. And we need to stand up if we really love our children. One day I arrested a lady which were a lecturer at the university. Mm. She was selling LSD, not me, my men actually arrested her. And she was selling LSD to the students. And there was a project and she was arrested. And I actually went to speak to her and I said to her, listen, why do you do things like this? Selling, killing students. And she actually was mad at my men and at me. And she says, you know, I'm a single parent. I need to look after my daughter. I need to do this. I said, but you can't do it. What you're doing to those people is going to come back to you. And I actually spoke to her, but she, I mean, she was so hard, Renee. She didn't want to hear anything.
She'd already rationalized this.
I'm just telling you. I'm warning you. Don't do it. Eventually, she resigned there and she went to another university, but the case was still pending. You know, it was just, she was out on bail. And then one Saturday morning, I came back from a men's meeting. And my phone rang, and when I picked it up, there was somebody screaming on the other side terribly. And I says, please, just calm down. Who am I speaking to? And she gave me her name. I says, what's wrong? She says, you know, I should have listened to you. My daughter, 15 years old, died of an overdose this morning. Please, parents, I'm asking you, you need to know your child. You need to know who their friends are. You need to plant into them. You need to educate them, not somebody else.
Mm-hmm. They need to be the model and the role model as well.
Yes, and they need to feel free and comfort to come to the house and speak to you, not to keep it away and speak to a drug dealer about their problems. I mean, how many youngsters just in Cape Town are working as prostitutes? Got addicted to drugs?
More than what we should.
Yes. Please drive through the streets at night in Cape Town and see how many young ladies are on the street.
Yes, just in this Voortrekker Road.
Where did it start? It just didn't start overnight. You know, we're working at a school in Cape Town with boys, and I mean, it's tough in the school. The gangsters are coming in, and also, and we, on our hearts, a couple of men, we went to the school and we started serving them in the hostel. Living in the hostel there.
Okay.
And you know, the second night we were there, 35 of the 40 gave their life to Christ.
Wow.
And you should see the flame that actually started in this school now. And when I spoke to some of these boys, they say, we'd rather stay in the hostel over weekends than go to our home. Because at our home, it's hell.
It's crazy.
It's hell. It's, we see how our dad mistreats our mom, how he assaults her.
And he's drinking.
And sometimes we're not sure, do we sleep in the house? Or where do we have to sleep? So it's better for us to stay at the hostel. You know, that broke my heart. But now I see these youngsters standing up. They want this. They want the genuineness of the word of Christ. Mm-hmm. They want to live it. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've started a group now at the school. They've given themselves a name. And they're inviting other youngsters.
Oh,
and you know what?
Amazing.
It's just growing. All we do there is to support them now.
Mm.
I'm not there to come and tell them what to do.
Yeah, you're just ushering it.
You know, and they're actually looking at our lives.
Mm.
Because they said the one said, you know, we thought you guys just going to come once. But you
that
guys
is the thing.
Came
Many
back.
Many organizations have that
and
problem.
Back.
Yes.
And that's why, you know, I can see the love of Christ coming out in them. So to me, it starts at home.
I agree.
It doesn't start at school. There's a lot of children at school as well, which parents are not doing what they have to do as parents. I mean, we work long hours. I've spoken.
Mothers and fathers work, single parenting, all that stuff.
You know, Renette, I traveled all over the world. And I will not forget, I was in Belgium and slept at a hotel. And the night I went into that lounge area and I saw an elderly man sat there. And usually I go and I talk to them. And he told me what he did in his life. You know, he had many companies as a multi-billionaire and so on. He says, but you know what, Stan? I lost my family.
Mm.
Money
painful.
Can't buy
painful.
My family back. I've lost them.
Mm.
What a terrible thing to see. I've lost them. I don't know whether the children are, you know, on drugs or what they are, where they are.
Or just
I
don't care.
He doesn't even know where they are.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, I spoke to a guy also with one of his sons, a guy that is also a millionaire. in South Africa. And his son got involved with dealing in drugs.
Mm.
And the day when we got hold of him, I said to him, why do you do these things? You got anything? He says, you think I've got everything. And he said to me, I've asked my dad to come fishing with me. He bought me a fishing boat. I asked him to go hunt with me. He bought me a farm. He says, I don't want a farm. I don't want a boat. I just want my dad with me. And you know, when I called his dad, the dad was now mad at me because, yeah, you guys, this is what you do. I says, no, forget about that. I want to see you. Mm. And when he came there, I actually spoke to him and said to him, have you ever been fishing with your son? He says, you know what? He doesn't appreciate what I do for him. I said, what did you? I bought him a boat. I said, yes, and? Did you ever go hunting with him? You know what? That's another thing. He says, I bought him a farm. Nothing is going on. It's not being maintained. I'm going to lose everything. Look, the value of the material things above his child. And you know, then I asked him, tell me, when last did you tell your son that you love him? And when last did you give him a hug?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it was like a knockout shot. And I called the son and I said, here you are together now. What are you going to do? And he walked up to his son and he gave him a hug. And he said, I love you. First time in 22 years that this son could recall that his dad actually came to him, hugged him, and said, I love you. But you know, it was too late, man. This guy went to jail for 6 years. It could have been prevented. Mm-hmm. Parents, I'm talking to you. It can be prevented. And I'm talking out of my heart with you guys today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they want hope.
Mm-hmm.
They want something.
They want relationships.
And you know, when it gets to like these boys in the school, if they see the genuineness of people coming to them, speaking out of their hearts, loving them, caring for them, that's when the change come at the heart of our youth.
Amen.
So let's give our youth a chance. Let them speak to us. Let's set the example. Let's show them what it is to be a child of God.
Mm.
And the way we make mistakes on it. But they also see how you rectify.
How you rectify and how you come back to the right
thing.
So
I plead, I really plead to the parents today. The symptoms we see is the children. The problem starts at home.
At home. How can people invite you maybe even to come and chat or just give us some connection points?
Renate, just to come back, it's not all parents that are doing it. Some parents are really trying their best.
Yeah.
And you can see the difference in their houses.
Yes.
You see, it's exactly, you see the discipline, you see the love, you experience the love when you get into the house.
Mm-hmm.
And I can talk to you about many things about child abuse, where it happened, how it happened.
I'm going to have you back for those things, because that's so important.
If people want to talk to me, they're welcome. They can contact Cape Pulpit.
Yes.
And, you know,
they can ask for me.
They can get the details from
and
Susan
or
from
them,
you.
Yeah.
Or they can contact me direct on my email, turketi13@gmail.com. And if they want to invite me, even if I have to go to home,
speak to parents.
I don't care because that's where you start.
It's important.
Yes.
Very important. You can start even. Yes, that is wonderful. Thank you so much. You've got so much to offer. And may the Lord just continuously use you mightily for his glory and his kingdom. And that you'll touch many, many children's and families' lives that into restoration and healing. And thank you for being the person that you are. And may God just continuously use you. And thank you for being on my program and really adding great value to it. Family and friends, time is up. And take care of yourself. Go love on your family and just revisit this conversation. And we trust and hope that you've made some changes. Sometimes we get so used to going the way we normally do and we become complacent, but it's very important. Our youth is not okay. So please, family and friends, stick to the rules and we'll see you same time next week, same place. Goodbye.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.